You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill League podcast, taking a look at the Championship, League One and League Two ahead of the fourth round of fixtures in the Football League. I'll be shortly joined by Pete Farris to discuss the Championship. Then we'll hear Gav Puchalowski on League One. Al Ross will be taking care of League Two. But first things first, joining myself, Sam Norris, in the studio today is Mr. Farris. Hello, Pete.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
A little bit annoyed, Sam. 2 weeks in a row now, I've gone, do you know what, I think Norwich are the best bet, but Newcastle lost to Fulham. Next week I thought, Brighton are going to batter Forest. Nah, do you know what? I've missed out again. Fuming with myself in a way, but we've seen some really interesting action early doors, and it's been a really fun start to the Championship season, unless you're, of course, Shane Duffy.
Yeah, indeed. 3 own goals and a red card in his last couple of games. I think he was sent off in his last match for Ireland as well. So it's not been great in the world of Shane Duffy. I tell you what I did thoroughly enjoy last week, Pete. I was listening to last week's podcast. I loved your anecdote about your mother's betting prowess.
She's very good. Yeah, she's very, very good. Yeah.
I'd love that to be a regular slot on the podcast, but I assume it depends whether
Rose's recommendations.
She has a dream. Yeah, exactly.
Rose's recommendations. She needs to have a dream again,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite a specific feature to have to wait for. But I'm sure she's doing very well. She actually backed Justin Rose at the Olympics as well.
Oh, really?
She loves you. Well, there's a bit of skill in it, but she backs Justin Rose for literally every golf tournament.
Okay.
So that probably tells you exactly how lucky she got with that. But he played well, and she's in fine fettle.
Indeed. I feel like it has become a feature now. We had it last week. Now we're hearing about Justin Rose this week. Excellent stuff. Let's get stuck into the live Championship games this weekend, Pete. Just the two live for TV broadcast, but both look very, very interesting games indeed. We begin with the Saturday tea time kickoff live on Sky Sports 1. Derby taking on Aston Villa. 21-20 here about Derby. It's 12-5 the draw. Aston Villa are in the betting at 13-5. We've got 4 enhanced odds specials for this one. Tom Ince to score in a Derby win is 4-1 from 14-5. Jack Grealish to score in Aston Villa win is 10-1 from 7s. Chris Martin to score in Derby to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 5-1 from 9-2. And Ross McCormack to score and Aston Villa to win by those same scorelines, 9-1 from 8-1. It's been a so-so return to second flight football for Aston Villa. 1-1 draw, 1 lost one in the league. And they were obviously dumped out of the cup by Luton. And we saw a round of Championship games midweek, Pete. They battered Huddersfield by all accounts for
absolutely
most of the game, but could not get that second goal.
No, I mean, I would say, you could look at it one of two ways, but personally, I would say that they were unlucky in the way they conceded. It was a bit ridiculous, but, you know, in the end, it's blasted against Heffalay, and
it was a freak goal.
Rolls in the back of the net. I was in the William Hill in-play studio for that game, and I was looking at the live in-play stats throughout, and it was the most one-sided affair you could possibly have imagined in terms of the actual game itself. And Huddersfield have started really, really well. And David Wagner, he's got a real attitude, and he's instilled into his players this desire never to give up, never to stop. And that's there. And you've got to give them real credit for that. But Villa were all right in that game, truth be told. So if you actually analyse their matches so far, they've lost in the last 5 minutes to a very talented Sheffield Wednesday side at Hillsborough. So even if you're ready to get inside, no shame. They battered Rotherham, as they should be doing at home. Fair enough. And they should have won that game, which is not great, but they were unlucky in the way that they didn't.
Yeah.
So actually, I think it's been an okay start. I mean, admittedly, that cup game in between was atrocious. But generally speaking, it's been an okay start from Villa. I'm not convinced by Derby at the moment, truth be told. Got a great opening home draw, 0-0 with Brighton. Again, big thumbs up for that. They weren't great against Preston. That game seemed to have draw written all over it. Barely any chances in the first half, especially. 87th minute winner from Craig Forsyth. And if Craig Forsyth is the man who's you needing for those goals, it's not brilliant right now. And obviously beaten at Oakwell by an impressive Barnsley at the start of the season.
Yes.
I mean, admittedly, a Scott Carson own goal set them on their way. But it was still a good result for Barnsley and a poor one from Derby. I think this is a score draw. Because I think if you're Roberto Di Matteo, you go to one of the toughest places in the league to go to in terms of a team who are expected to do well. You get yourself a draw and you leave. that's a pretty good place to be in, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for me, in the end, I've gone for the 12-5 draw. I've gone for the match result and both teams to score at 16-5 draw. Now, at that point, you're asking for goal scorers. Well, of course, Tom Ince is part of the enhanced odds offer, and he's obviously 19-10 anytime, 11-2 first and last. I'm not entirely sort of desperate to back Tom Ince at the moment. Chris Martin is there at 23-20 anytime. Jacob Butterfield and Brad Johnson, of course, are always players. I think especially Bradley Johnson is worth a little bit of a nibble at a big price, 18-5. But the best goal scorers, I'm afraid to say, come from this Villa side in terms of value and likelihood for me.
Yes.
So Ross McCormack scores. Midweek, of course, in that draw against Huddersfield. 2-1 any time for a guy with his goal record. I'll take that. Rudiger Stedt has already got a brace this season. 2-1 any time. I'd consider that. Jordan Ayew's had a lot of chances, 13-5. Would I back Jack Grealish? Probably not at 19-5 any time. But for me, Ross McCormack at 2-1 is absolutely the value there. The both teams to score, because I fancy a draw and both teams to score, then I'm going to ironically play both teams to score if you want. 10-11, yes, which is there. The draw under 2.5 is 3-1. The draw over 2.5 is 10-1. That gives you 2-3 or 4-4 if you want it. I personally wouldn't go that far. I really do think there's not a lot to separate these two sides. So something like a draw, a 1-1 at 6-1, Sam, might be the way to play this. If not, you might fancy. I mean, of all of those enhanced odds offers, I think the McCormack one's probably my favourite. 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, which gives me my both teams to score, of course. Up a point from 8-9-1. I think that would probably, if I had to go one way, I'd go Villa, but I think ultimately draw.
Okay, score draw then for Pete in the betting at 16-5. And you've heard his thoughts there on the various goal scorer markets. That's the Saturday tea time game then between Derby and Aston Villa. We move on to Sunday's midday televised game. An East Anglian derby here between Ipswich and Norwich. Ipswich are 11-5 in the betting, 9-4 about the draw, and Norwich are 5-4. Of course, these sides last bumped heads in the Championship playoffs, and I know not everyone's a huge head-to-head punter, but when it comes to derby matches, the fact remains that Ipswich haven't beaten Norwich since 2009. Their last six meetings, 5 wins for Norwich and a draw. That almost has to be factored into a derby game. I know we say the form book goes out the window, but things like that tend to stick and have an impact on the players and the whole atmosphere regarding the crowd.
Absolutely, Sam. I only really take into head-to-head consideration when I'm thinking about derbies or games with a history to them. You know, when it's sort of like Reading against Brighton, I kind of go, well, that's relatively close, so it's probably a bad idea. It's not relatively close, is it? awful geography. But yeah, so that kind of thing, or Forest derby, or, you know, things like that. Ipswich have taken 7 points from the last available 30 in the head-to-heads between these two sides.
Wow.
So 2 wins and a draw.
Yeah.
Of course, those wins were what you mentioned. So in the last 10 games, 2 wins and a draw, the rest lost. I find it hard to back them here as well. They were lucky midweek against Wolves. Wolves, of course, missed a penalty in that game. Ipswich, again, looking at the stats, weren't great in that match at all. They were better defensively than they were against Brentford, of course, where second half they conceded 2 set-piece goals that were really, they should not be given away. And Mick McCarthy was fuming with that after the match. When you look at Norwich, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
Nothing at the moment. Exactly. The way they're playing is very, very impressive indeed. I mean, battered Blackburn into the ground. And I said pre-tournament that Blackburn and Forest were early on going to be the teams I'd be opposing all the time. And at the moment, that certainly looks like the way to go. Narrow win midweek, 1-0, but that'll do them. They probably should have hit a second. I think they're 2 goals disallowed in that match. So a very, very good team. In great fettle, scoring goals. Drew against Sheffield Wednesday, 0-0. Thumbs up, cracking, well done, let's move on. Whereas Ipswich, I mean, outside of that win against Barnsley, beaten by Brentford, lucky against Wolves, and obviously knocked out by Stevenage in the cup, although they did make a lot of changes for that. I can't be with Ipswich here. Nothing really pushes me Ipswich's way, which is a shame because I like Ipswich. I think they're going to do well this season, and I certainly like Mick McCarthy an awful lot. But I just can't be with them. And if you're offering me here odds against 5-4 with a historical head-to-head record, with the form, with who's looking better than who, all of that, Norwich at 5-4. They have to be the play. Now, this is historically a relatively tasty affair, of course.
Yes.
We did have a red card in the last head-to-head, but before that, not too many red cards. However, there are a few mouthy players in this, and this is something that I've been making my money on early doors, has been playing cards. Because players are opening their mouth because they're still used to being able to get away with that.
Yes.
That's not the case. And so you have to look at that, I think, long term, certainly over the next 3 months, which I'm going to count as long term. As players get used to it, I think you'll still see a fair smattering of bookings. So look, overs on the cards. It's going to be a huge atmosphere at the ground as well, of course, down at Portman Road. So all of this makes me think the Norwich of 5-4 are brilliant value. Overs on the goals, I could happily play that at 11-10. Odds against is a pretty tasty thing when you consider the goals that Norwich are scoring. Ipswich had a 6-goal game against Barnsley in their home game. So the over 2.5 at 11-10 looks very, very nice. And in terms of goal scorers, well, Grant Ward, who of course scored in that game, is an intriguing value price there at 18-5. You've got Pittman, 23-10. Murphy, who's probably a lot of people picked at 21-10 if you fancy an Ipswich goal. On the Norwich side, there's four or five you could have a go at here. Alex Pritchard is one of the most underrated Championship midfielders. He really has been, wherever he's been, whether it be Brentford or otherwise, Swindon when he was at Swindon. He's class, 100-30. Wes Hoolan scored this season, had a great Euros, signed a new contract 2 weeks ago. What more do you want as a mug bet? 14-5, Wes Hoolahan. Jerome, 8-5. Lafferty, 21-10. Plenty of value. I would still stick here with Wes Hoolahan, who I've had a little bit of value and a little bit of success with early doors. But ultimately, Norwich win for me at 5-4.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Norwich to win the game then against Ipswich in the betting at 5-4, the choice of Pete. That's the live TV games taken care of. We'll shortly be hearing Pete's best of the rest in the Championship and indeed his best bet across the weekend in the second tier. On the back of that, it's Gav P on League One and then Al Ross on League Two. We'll round off the podcast.
First bet of the week is a big one, and it's Burton at 11-5 to beat Blackburn Rovers. Okay, Blackburn will be without a man who's sadly been hindering them a little bit recently. Shane Duffy wanted to leave the club, of course, turned down a new contract, has since scored 3 own goals, and of course midweek was sent off. They've had a day's less rest as well, have Blackburn Rovers, and you have to think about Burton's brilliant midweek performance. Beat Sheffield Wednesday, played very well against Sheffield Wednesday, and Burton having scored 3 against Forrester, showing that despite having no big names, are certainly scoring goals. You might want to pick someone like Chris O'Grady, 23-10 anytime. Stuart Bevan, 13-5 as well. Always worth a look. But for me, the pacey Callum Butcher is the one to look at here at 16-5. A clever player on the ball, a good mover of the ball, and has got goals to his name at times as well. But ultimately, Burton at 11-5 or Burton draw no bet at 6-4, the ways to go against what looks like an abject Blackburn Rovers. Wigan are also worth a bit of a peek here at 15-8 against Nottingham Forest. Forest themselves, again, looking in a little bit of trouble at the moment. They can't seem to get going. Losing games, really not scoring enough. Brittarsson Belonga has not been fully fit, and that has certainly held Forest back after their opening day victory over Burton. But even then, they had to come from behind to do that. Losing to Brighton is not a great shame, and a narrow loss at Brentford midweek, but it was a loss that could have been a great deal more for Forest. And they lost Damien Perqui as well, a man with Europa League experience, who I think in the back line will be missed. Admittedly, Wigan haven't torn things up, but nor have they looked like they're not a Championship side. Losing narrowly to Bristol City, having been in a decent position in that game, they battered Blackburn and of course drew against Birmingham, albeit a last minute draw. It was still, looking at the stats, well deserved. So Wigan are certainly another big price play worth looking at this week. Again, look towards your draw no bet at 23-20, and maybe you want to play Will Grigg at 13-8 anytime. A man, of course, I think you'll say, has certainly been warm if not on fire. But the best bet of the week for me in the Championship comes for Brighton. Brighton are the play for me. Reading were poor, very poor against Wolves. They were battered by Newcastle, of course, had a day's less rest as well in comparison to Brighton. And Brighton are scoring tons of goals. OK, scoring loads past the likes of Colchester might not be impressive, but they've hit 3 in their last 2 and they look terrifying. Anthony Knocker, he scored in the last 2 matches. He's 100-30, well worth looking at. But Brighton, high in confidence, high in quality. 6-5 is the bet here. And actually, 6-5, Brighton is my nap of the week.
League One is well and truly underway now with everybody playing 3 games, and these are my 3 favourite bets for this coming weekend. I'm going to start with the only side in League One that have actually won 3 games out of 3, 100% success rate. That is Bolton Wanderers. They've got 9 points from 9, and they won at Bristol Rovers by 2-1 on Wednesday night. And that takes them top of the table. And I see no reason why we shouldn't keep backing Bolton. They are 21-20 to beat fairly local rivals, Fleetwood Town. They've played each other in a friendly before. But this is the first ever competitive meeting between Bolton and Fleetwood. And with Bolton going fantastically well, 9 points out of nine, 21-20. I will tell you as well, earlier this week, they were actually 11-10 to win at home to Fleetwood Town. They've now gone to 21-20, and that makes him even more of a play. They've started to concede one or two goals, Bolton, and Fleetwood have scored in every single league game so far this campaign. They also won on Wednesday night to claim their first 3 points of the season. Fleetwood Town unbeaten so far this season, but I think Bolton are going to have too much for them. So 21-20 for Bolton to win. You could have a look at Bolton to win, and both teams have scored 100-30. Anytime goal scorers for Bolton. I do like Gary Medina. I think he'll score some goals in League One. He's already off and running for this campaign with a goal he scored. Gary Medina, 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air. But he's also got two goals this season from midfield. Both have been fairly stunning strikes as well. Former Liverpool player Jay Spearing. I think he's a little bit too big anytime at 5-1. He scored on the opening day of the season against Sheffield United with a great volley from the edge of the box, and he scored as well against Bristol Rovers on Wednesday night. So Jay Spearing, two goals in three games, and he's 5-1 anytime to score for Bolton in their first ever competitive meeting against Fleetwood Town. But I certainly fancy in Bolton at 21-20 to win that game. My second favourite bet is Bury at evens in the Greater Manchester Derby against Oldham. Bury evens at home to an Oldham side who have not yet scored this season, although they have claimed two draws in the last two games with 2-0-0. So they have been tight at the back defensively, but that's at home for Oldham. I think Bury at home evens is a great shout. Oldham you'll find at 5-2, 9-4 for the draw. Bury have been really good so far this season, even though they haven't got the results to show it, really. They drew 0-0 away at Coventry City, but were well on top in that game. And actually, Gillingham were my NAP selection last weekend to win at home to Bury, and they did so by 2-1. So the NAP selection landed on Gillingham, but Bury gave Gillingham a really good go. And actually, if Bury walked away with a point in that game, I think most people would have said that was deserved. Bury's home form is pretty good. They started the campaign with a 2-0 victory at home to Charlton Athletic. And they also finished last season with a 3-2 victory over Southend. So 5 goals in the last two games at home for Bury. I think they're going to have too much for Oldham. And Oldham side, who I think are going to be struggling this season. So Bury, I really do like it evens. Possibly Bury and unders might be the way forward. Also, I do like just an anytime goal scorer, Tom Pope, 8-5. When Leon Clark departed Gig Lane, Tom Pope had to step up to the fore, even though Bury were wanting to get rid of Tom Pope, and he scored a couple of goals already this season, one in the league and one in the cup, the EFL Cup. But Tom Pope anytime 8-5 is very tempting, but I do like Bury at evens to beat Oldham. Just before I get on to my third and final shout for League One on Saturday, one player worth looking out for anytime has to be Chet Evans for Chesterfield. Chesterfield are an interesting price at 15-8. I'm still a little bit unsure about Chesterfield on the road, and I think they're good for the draw at Shrewsbury at least. They are 15-8 Chesterfield, but Chet Evans has got 4 goals this season, and certainly he's a play at 13-10 anytime. Tempted by Millwall at 6-5 at home to Sheffield United, who have had a very poor start to the season so far. After playing pretty well in a couple of games, they were hopeless against Southend on Tuesday night. 3-0 down after 15 minutes at Bramall Lane. At Millwall, they themselves got walloped 5-1 at Peterborough. So two sides who were hurting from very poor results during the week. And Millwall attempting at 6-5. I'm expecting some kind of a response from Sheffield United and maybe the draw at 9-4. But certainly Millwall looked tempting at 6-5. But my third shout for my League One accumulator on Saturday has to be Bradford at 4-5 at home to Coventry. Bradford are going great guns at the moment, and they've got the right formula for winning games of football and doing well this season, which quite simply is don't concede and score goals. It's a winning formula, and Bradford have got it at the moment. They're 4-5 to beat a Coventry side who have not yet scored so far this season. They are 17-5 to win, 9-4 for the draw. Coventry lost 1-0 at Swindon and then drew 0-0 at home to Shrewsbury and Bury as well. So Coventry looking for their first goal this season. And Bradford, they conceded against MK Dons, the first goal they conceded this season after 3 clean sheets beforehand. But Bradford have had 2 very tough trips away from home, one at Peterborough 1-0 and one at MK Dons by 2-1. They did start the campaign with a 0-0 result at home to Port Vale, but Bradford City's home form generally as a rule is very good. And Coventry have actually failed to score in 4 of their last 5 games on the road. Maybe Bradford and unders on the goals is a play in this one, but certainly fancying Bradford at 4-5. So my League One Akin. My treble for League One this weekend is Bolton at 21-20, Bury at evens, and Bradford at 4-5. That is 6.38-1. And my nap selection of the weekend has to be Bolton. Table topping 9 points from 9, Bolton in their first ever competitive game at home to Fleetwood. Bolton at 21-20 is my nap.
Names in the division travel to one of the smallest, and just like on the first day of the season, I am tipping anti-Orient and pro Grimsby. Look at the midweek fixtures and that would look a crazy bet. Orient won 3-0 at home to Stevenage. Grimsby were 3-2 losers at Colchester. There will be plenty of money for the visitors, and thus I think plenty of value on the home side. Grimsby were stuck in a 6-hour traffic queue before their match and still came close to dragging a 3-0 half-time deficit back into a draw. They're back at home on Saturday, having won their only home game so far, and last season they won over half of their league games at Blundell Park. Add to that, it's a much improved Grimsby squad from last season, lots of players with league experience in that first team, and you can see why I am not writing the Mariners off. Orient are 1 point ahead of their hosts, only thanks to a 3-0 thrashing of Stevenage on Tuesday. Only apart from the scoreline, it wasn't a thrashing at all. Not a one-sided match, but a poor Stevenage side had a chance cleared off the line early on and were later undone by 3 crosses. Now, Grimsby's fullbacks Danny Andrew and Ben Davis are both experienced and athletic enough in this league as well not to get ripped apart in the same way. I'm not going to rehash the historic stats, but they pretty much prove there's little gap between League Two and the top of the National League. And Orient strike me as the same side who flopped to miss out on the playoffs last year, only they've not got Joby McEnough, they've not got Bradley Pritchard or Lloyd James or Kevin Nolan. So I've got to be on Grimsby here at a big 8-5. And if that's not big enough for you, how about almost 3-1? Because for the first time this season, I'm pitching a draw, and it is the biggest price of all the draws in League Two this weekend. Portsmouth are 4-6 to beat a visiting Colchester side. Now, Portsmouth's 2-0 away defeat at the weekend was their first of the season. Before that, they'd drawn all three of their competitive matches this season in 90 minutes. Before that, they also drew their last two pre-season friendlies. Colchester, meanwhile, they won both of their home games, and their one league away game, they drew it. They did throw out the reserves in a League Cup at Brighton, so I kind of ignore that, and I can only think that's still somehow got a bearing on the price in this game for some reason. 11-4 is the price for another South Coast draw, and you've got to have a look at that. And if those two opening bets are left field, I'm switching play swiftly to the right for the final one. It's the Beds Hearts Derby. Luton won over half of their away games last year. At home, Stevenage won just 6. Now, I know it's early in the season, but this is still 23rd against top. A Stevenage side scrapping for their lives gained an undeserved 1-0 win at Luton at the end of last season. But even if you include that, Luton have still won 3 of the last 5 meetings and taken 7 points from the last 3 times they've made the 15-mile trip down the A505 to Broadhall Way. So why on earth are they 29-20? I genuinely don't know. Normally, it is risky to make an away side your nap, but Luton are arguably the best exception to that in this league. It's 3 value singles or a treble for a risk taker this week. Grimsby at 8-5. Portsmouth Colchester to be a draw at 11-4. And this week's nap, Luton at 29-20. It is 22.88-1 as a treble.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.